Good morning. It's so good to see you all today. It's wonderful. So I'm Karen Buchanan. I probably said that when I was up here last time. And I'm a member here and thrilled to get to talk to you today from the book of Luke. So thanks for being here. In September 2006, when I lived out in Aledo, one of my friends from the church I attended at the time came to see me at work, and we were on the prayer team together, and one of our favorite things to do, we spent a lot of time together outside of church, driving around the back roads of Mercer County and around the little towns of Mercer County. They're all little towns, and just praying for our county. We had been doing that a long time, praying and praying for our county. So she showed up at church, and she was on a mission, and she told me that God had told her when she was praying that we were to prayer walk around the perimeter of Aledo, which happens to be the county seat of Mercer County. So we were to go around the perimeter of prayer walking. Now, here was the thing. Not only was I a single mom, okay, with a teenage son at home and a couple of spare teenage boys I was raising as well. Also, I had two jobs. I worked full-time days at City Hall, and then I worked part-time nights and weekends at the YMCA. And then in addition to that, I was a volunteer youth pastor at a church in another town, one of the Mercer County towns, where I would spend every Tuesday night, I'd go, you know, straight from work, and we would make a meal for these kids, and I would teach them, and then I'd fill my car with the kids and drive them to all the far points of Mercer County. And if you're not from Mercer County, you might not know how much driving that is, okay? It meant late nights, because I live half an hour this way. Well, I live 40 minutes that way, you know? So suffice it to say, I was busy, and I was tired. And it wasn't like I had spare time. And my friend's announcement, what it did was annoyed me. Like, why was she trying to create something else for me to do? I doubted, really, that God had told her this thing. I just doubted it. So I glared at her from behind my desk, you know, and I noted aloud that if that were the case, if we were actually called to prayer walk the perimeter of the city of Aledo, then the only time I'd have available to do it anytime soon was after I got off my shift at the Y at 9 o'clock at night one night. And she just smiled. She was all cheerful, and she said she was absolutely up for a late night walk, totally up for it. And did I mention the perimeter of the city of Aledo is roughly 7 miles? Okay? Which I know is small for the Quad Cities, but, you know, for a lady who wasn't exercising, 7 miles. Oh, my goodness. So I waved her away from my desk. I was like, yeah, I'll pray about it. And just thought, this is never happening. That's what I thought. Which, if you hear me talk much, you understand, this is how I always start praying about things. I'll pray about it, but no, you know? And then God laughs, okay? So I prayed about it, and I really quickly heard a confirmation that the prayer walk really was the next thing the Lord wanted us to do. So a few nights later, when I got off work at the Y, we walked, prayer walked the perimeter of the city of Aledo in the night. And I was way out of shape. Did I mention I wasn't exercising at the time? Okay. So it took, and she's older than me, so it took something like 3 hours for us to walk that perimeter of the city of Aledo. And I stumbled into my bed well after midnight that night, okay, with like every muscle in my body aching and like bleeding blisters on my feet. She had said at one point, I thought, if you fall down, I don't think I can pick you up, you know? I mean, it was a rough walk. And then I had to get up at 4 a.m. the next morning because I had to open the YMCA. I can remember sitting there at my desk, and I pulled my drawer open right here, and we had, for people who got injured, we had things. And so we had these little packs that you could squeeze them, and they got hot. And I, like, adhesived one to my lower back, one to my thigh, one to my other thigh, and still sat there just thinking, I can't, I just can't. And then I had to be at City Hall at 8 a.m. So I can tell you, I was so glad that was over. Okay, we did that thing. It's over. And then not long after that, my friend heard another thing while she was praying, that we were to assemble a group that would prayer walk the perimeter of the city of Aledo every night for 7 weeks. 7 weeks! Now that made me mad. I was mad at her. And I just thought, she's a little bit dramatic. She's making this up. We did our thing. She's making it up. But, you know, I prayed about it. And I got a yes. This was like really the next thing that we were supposed to do, to pray for our county. And so what I got was that we were to like draw the little map and break it up into four quadrants. Okay, and we had been studying this book about the Jewish night watch for prayers, and so that we were to have someone walking each quarter of the perimeter in the night, one quarter at a time, and they could do one quarter per shift of the night. So what that meant practically was first shift for the way the Jewish day works and the Jewish prayer walk. Watch was 6 to 9 p.m. So 6 to 9 p.m., somebody, at least two people, had to walk one quarter of the perimeter. And then the second shift was 9 p.m. to midnight. So during that shift, we had to have at least two people walking one quarter of the perimeter. And then the third shift was midnight to 3 a.m., so we needed at least two people walking one quarter of the perimeter. And then the fourth shift was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., and during that we also needed to have at least two people walking one quarter of the perimeter for 7 weeks. And I really heard clearly that we had to walk in pairs for both safety and for accountability. No walking alone allowed. 7 weeks. So, see, that was a thing we couldn't do, right? We just couldn't do that. But we had heard it really so clearly from God with multiple confirmations. And at the time, I had this email distribution list of people who didn't volunteer to be on it, but I just got their email addresses and sent them things because I was classy like that. And it was a big list. And so I sent them stuff a few times a week about faith. That I had written. So I put everything I'd gotten out on that email and sent it out. And here's what happened. 40 people stepped forward and said, yeah, we'll do that with you. We'll participate in that. And so for the final 7 weeks of the year 2006, we walked the perimeter of Aledo every night on every quarter of the night, in all kinds of weather, in at least pairs. So we had adults, and we had teens, we had church people, and we had people who would not do church. We had kids that the police liked to watch, and we even had a kid walk with us one night on the night he got out of jail. And the fun part of that was, we had been praying for him since before we knew his name. We just knew that some dude was sleeping under the back stairs of the Y, and the police had had to come and run him out. And then we found out who his name was, because I knew a lot of kids who went to jail. So we found out he's in jail, this is his name. We told him we're praying for him, because I was visiting another kid that was in his cell. And so he knew we prayed for him all that time, so the night he got out of jail, he prayer walked with us. It was like one of the big, okay, God is here moments. It was really fun. Lost my spot. It was epic. It was exhausting. It was an adventure, and we saw a lot of miracles along the way. And when it was over, 7 weeks later, here's what I knew. It still wasn't over, okay? Because we had already gotten our next assignment in praying for our county, and that was to do that same every shift of the night prayer walk, perimeter walk, for every single town in Mercer County. And Aledo's the big one, but I mean, there are a lot of little, you know, spots that are a wide spot in the road that is a town. So, a lot of them. So what we did was, to prepare, we took a break for the rest of the winter, because it was January 1, you know, and nobody really was excited about walking in ice. And we took the winter off. I emailed people and, you know, kept inviting them. And while we were on our break, I contacted the county police, county sheriff's department, just like when we had walked in Aledo, I'd contacted the city police, because when you got kids that the police like to watch walking in the night, then maybe they think they're casing the joint. I don't know, you know. So we liked to tell them that we were coming. We called them and warned them. We enjoyed our break, and then on the first day of spring in 2007, we started up walking again on a schedule, and we walked continually every night in the every shift thing for four solid months, ending on July 24th. And we had started with about 40 walkers when we started. I mentioned that. But others kept jumping in along the way. Like, I would send letters to churches, and people in the church would be like, oh, well, we'll walk. And pastors would be like, come talk at our church. My people will walk. And so a lot of people joined in, and all told, about another 100 people, in addition to our 40, okay, walked with us in some of the towns along the way. And then there were about another 100 people who said, I either can't walk or I can't do it in the night, but what I can do is get up and pray and cover you with prayer while you're walking in the night. So we had about another 100 people doing that. So how crazy is that? It's like, as far as God Adventures, it's the biggest scale one I've been on. And along the way, we encountered a lot of cool miracles. And I really don't pretend to know exactly all the stuff that God did then or since then or is still doing because of what we did. I do sometimes see some really good things that I think that started. I think we contributed to that. And here's another thing I know. The city of Aledo that we walked 7 weeks in a row, I know of at least 4 churches that when we did that originally, were doing okay. They were doing okay. And now 2 of them are like much bigger and have their own homeschools. One of them is so much bigger that they have to run 3 morning services to fit all the people in the building. And the other one, they just had to move into another building because they didn't fit in their building anymore. So I feel like, I don't say we did that, but I say we were a piece of what God did there. Because we were praying hard for all the churches. We had an agreement. We're praying for all the churches, not certain churches, you know. So that was exciting. But for every one of us who participated, it really started with choosing to do that one little thing. Just saying, okay, I'll walk tonight. That's what it started with. And the kingdom of God is like that. If you just give a little thing, and God uses it in ways bigger than you could ever manufacture. God can take our little acts of obedience and belief, and he can blow them up out of all proportion. Just those little acts of obedience and belief. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are not small, and you are not powerless, and you are not without imagination or creativity. And we thank you that you invite us into what you're doing, that you dare us to do things we can't do so that you can show who you are. Father, speak to our hearts today as we're thinking about this, and help us to rise up and be all of who you've called us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the prayer walks were this big epic adventure, big epic God adventure in my life and in the lives of a lot of other people around me. And maybe you've had your own epic God adventure. And if you have, I bet right now you're in your seat having this little party because you're remember that cool thing that I didn't think I could do? And when God showed up and we did it. And it's just like when you've had it, then you have to have a little party every time you remember it. If anyone here, and I know people here, helped with Royal Family Kids Camp all these years, you can testify that that is an epic God adventure, right? It is ridiculous to think that a church this size could do that. It's not realistic at all. It's got to be a God adventure because we're not enough for RFK, and it keeps working and it keeps growing. Maybe you haven't had an epic God adventure, and you're just sitting there and you're thinking, you know, maybe I'm just not the kind of person God does this for. Maybe your life is just too full, you think. Your schedule is too busy. Maybe you think, I just don't have the right kind of personality for an epic God adventure. Or maybe you just think, you know, I get everything wrong, so why would he let me try something? I hope you don't think that. And maybe epic adventures with God are for special people, are weird, freaky people, is what you're thinking. And, you know, I'm not a weird, freaky person, okay? But let's look at what God says about how the kingdom of God works. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. And here's what it says. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches." He also asked, "What else is the kingdom of God like?" "It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." Now, let's think about that imagery. And if you grew up in church, I bet you've heard about the mustard seed and the yeast, but don't shut down on me, okay? Stay here. We have a picture of some mustard seeds, I think. That's, in case you wonder, that's a fingertip, so you can see the whorls of the fingerprint. It's so magnified. And look at those tiny little mustard seeds just stuck to the end of a finger. They're really small, aren't they? They're tiny. And yeast is the same way. It's tiny, tiny, tiny little bits. Now, let's see how big a full-grown mustard plant can be. You see this guy? He's reaching up. He's a full-grown man. He's reaching up. Looks to me like there's 3 more feet, and it might be hard to see that from back where you are. Looks to me like there's 3 more feet of mustard plant above his arm, reached as high as it will go. So that great big plant grew from a seed so tiny it fits on the end of your finger and, you know, looks that small from the picture. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's the same with yeast. They would look that small. They'd stick on the end of your finger like that, too. I didn't get a picture of yeast on a finger for you. But did anyone here ever bake homemade bread? Yeah, we got some. Oh, this corner is the bread baking corner. Go here if you want fresh bread. Okay, so what these people know about baking bread is this. You take roughly 6 cups of flour, and then you put 2 little teaspoons of yeast in it and a few other things. And then you knead it around for a few minutes, and then you let it rest for an hour and a half, and it doubles in size. Okay, but you're not done yet. Then you punch it down, and you make it into a couple of loaves, and you set it, and then it doubles in size again. Okay, so those, you know, little 6 cups of flour and a few things, because of about 2 teaspoons of yeast, double twice. It's pretty neat math. And it's a cool picture of what God does. He takes little things and makes a really big deal out of them. We give our little bit, our small act of obedience and belief, and then God adds this increase that we can't manufacture. And I like that we can't take credit for it. We can't manufacture it. And just let me point out, neither mustard seeds nor little pieces of yeast really work all by themselves almost ever. Look at this field of mustard plants. Isn't that beautiful? A field of mustard plants, and that's how you see mustard. You know, it's not a seed acting by itself. It's not even a plant acting by itself. It's hundreds, it's thousands, it's millions, okay, of plants and seeds out in a field all working together. A farmer doesn't just work with one mustard seed pretty much ever. So the little 2 teaspoons of yeast, I couldn't find anywhere on the internet that would tell me how many pieces of yeast were in 2 teaspoons. I tried, guys, okay? But it's hundreds. I know, I can tell that from looking, and I'm lazy, I guess. I didn't try to count them myself, so I don't know. But, you know, those 2 little teaspoons make 2 big, beautiful loaves of bread. A farmer doesn't plant 1 mustard seed on its own, and a baker doesn't use 1 little piece of yeast on its own, and God doesn't use your just 1 little act of obedience and belief all by itself, okay? He knows how to collect up all the prayers, all the decisions, all the actions, all of it, and work it together for the kingdom. So no matter how alone you've ever felt, you are not alone. God works his purposes in you, and in you, and in you, and in you, and you, and me, and all the people of God, all across time and all of space, and brings things to pass that we don't even know how to imagine we're a part in. I think we're going to be stunned in heaven when we find out I did this 1 little obedient thing, and here's where the chain went, you know? I think that's going to be one of the most fun parts of heaven. I am anticipating that we get to see some of that. I don't know if I can quote scripture for it, but I'm anticipating it. And for instance, I agreed to walk and pray around Aledo for 1 night. I just agreed for 1 night and to go pray for the county where I live. And 200 people spent 6 months walking the perimeter of the towns, you know, or getting up in the night and praying in their home in good weather, in bad weather. We had people walk in freezing rain. We had people walk in snow. We had people walk in ice. That's a mustard seed exploding into a plant big enough for birds to roost. And it's a handful of mustard seeds exploding into that beautiful field and useful harvest. That's 2 teaspoons of yeast ballooning a little blob of dough into 2 big, beautiful loaves of bread. Now, in another example, a friend of our pastor's met with our pastors here at Mercy and spoke to them about Royal Family Kids Camp before there had been a service in this building, okay? Before that, and said, here's what Royal Family Kids is. Will you do it? And they said yes, even though they knew it will cost $25,000 to do it. And we haven't had church yet, okay? And if you're not new, you've seen this is pretty usual for a number of attendees in church, okay? If you've walked through the parking lot, there we don't have any Lexuses out there that I know of, no limousines, no Hummers, right? We don't have rich people in our church. We don't have that one benefactor that writes fat checks so that the rest of us can feel good about what we do. But they said yes. They had that small act of obedience and belief. They said yes when the logical answer was clearly, maybe someday when we feel like we're ready. That's the reasonable answer, right? Not now. Someday when we feel like we're ready, we'll do that. And so because of their obedience, then God brought all the money and all the staff and all the counselors and gave us favor with all the right people that we could get it done. And that was year one. And this year, in year five, we had to raise $40,000. Look around this room and think $40,000. What? And the reason that we had to do that was because we're taking the next step of obedience and belief, and that is that we're starting a club and a mentoring program for the camp kids, so we get to meet with them every month. So that's ridiculous that this church is able to do that. It's nuts. It's clearly outside our ability, you know, but God. God is all about mustard seeds and yeast. He's all about taking our little acts of obedience and belief and just blowing them up out of all proportion for his purposes, for his kingdom. We've heard, maybe, I bet you've heard Wendy share, I know I've shared it a lot of places, but I don't know about here, the abysmal statistics about the presumed future of our foster kids that we're ministering to based on what statistics show and experience shows. We've seen what numbers say their futures are, and it's not pretty. And we believe the tiny little mustard seeds and yeast, our little acts of obedience and belief, and showing up for these kids year after year, and now it'll be month after month, we believe that that is being increased by God proportions as well. We believe that God will take our little offering, and God will blow it up out of all proportion, and keep these kids out of homelessness, and teenage pregnancy, and jail, and prison, and all the things that seem to be staring them down the barrel of the gun based on what we know statistically. We believe that God will take the tiny gift of some hours from our lives given to the kids and will blow that up to rescue these kids from the addictions and mental illnesses that are waiting to rip their lives apart. We believe that God will take what we're doing and will just broadcast it down across generations, and so that the children of these children's children will be on a different trajectory because of what happens at camp and because of what happens at club and what happens during mentoring times. We believe, and that's not because we're so awesome and powerful, okay? It's not because we're so great and smart, but it's because God's taking our tiny little efforts and is doing a thing we absolutely cannot manufacture, because God is all about mustard seeds and yeast, because God takes our little acts of obedience and belief and blows them up all out of proportion. So then the question becomes, of course, what is God inviting you to do? What small act of obedience and belief is God challenging you to step up and do? Did someone recently ask you to do something for the kingdom and it was too much? Maybe it made you mad, like it did me when my friend came and said that. I wanted to slap her, you know? Maybe you said no. I'm just saying it's not too late to change your mind. What opportunity of selfless service is available to you today? And are you saying no to it because, you know, duh, it's not reasonable or even possible, and it definitely doesn't fit in my schedule? Today is the day that we stop thinking about what we are able to do, and we start factoring, what does God want to do? That's all that really matters anyway. Today is the day that to move from someone should do something about that to, you know, doing something about that. And it doesn't have to be gigantic. It just has to be obedience and belief. It has to be, as we say in Royal Family Kids, we say, what? Keep moving forward. It just has to be keep moving forward. And the results, here's the greatest part. The results are not your problem any more than the months of that giant prayer walk were my problem. I could not have made that happen, okay? And it wasn't my problem what will happen from these prayers. You know, if we walk all these weeks and weeks and weeks, then what will God do? Well, that's not my problem. That's God's problem, right? So the results are not your problem. Yours is to step out in obedience and let God mind the details that you can in no way manufacture. So don't miss your opportunity to have your own epic God adventure. Now we're going to have the worship team come, and we're going to pray a little bit about that, okay? So come on up, worship team, and let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are all about increase. We thank you for the ways that you love to take little things and blow them up all out of proportion. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. We want to join into that. We want to see what you do. We want to notice it and rejoice. We want to grow because of what we see, Lord. And we want to offer ourselves to you. And as I was preparing for this, I got some things that I feel like the Lord told me. And so we're praying about this. I heard that we'll have one or more person here that feels like these things seem made up. That when I feel like maybe God's saying do something, it seems made up. That when Karen shared about this prayer walk, it seemed like her and her friend made a thing up. So what I heard, and Lord, I just lift this up to whoever's hearing that, whoever's feeling that and thinking that, is God's about crowdsourcing. So I ask you, Lord, to give them that confirmation. I know, Lord, that when you tell one person something, you also tell another person that. So I just lift up every person who feels like these callings might be made up and ask that you will give them the wisdom and the bravery to ask for confirmation from people that they know are spiritually solid, to hear that confirmation from you that you said it to two people and you meant it. I heard that someone may feel like they are not enough for any kind of a challenge from God. And what I heard was God saying, step out. You don't have to be enough. I am enough. Step out and I will show you how much you're enough for. And you don't even begin to imagine it today. And I also heard that someone or more than one person might be riddled with guilt as I laid this challenge out, that like, I feel bad, I can't do this, and I feel guilty, and I don't want to feel ashamed. And I heard the Lord saying, this is an invitation to joy. It is not an opportunity to slam you with guilt. It's just an invitation to joy. So put down the guilt, put down the shame, and just let me invite you into joy. So, Father, I lift up every person here, and I ask, Lord, that you'd help each of us to step into the epic adventure that you have for us and delight us in showing that you started with some small act that seemed like nothing, that was everything for you to work with. We thank you and praise you for what you will do in this that we can't manufacture. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.